We're ready. Apologize for a
hiatus,
couple week hiatus. We had the Easter, take a little Easter break, as well as other things breaking in our lives. So we're back, and it's good to be back. This afternoon, I'm sitting with Curtis Miller and Josh Emery and myself, and we are going to jump into James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, because if you have listened long enough, or if you've been a part of the church at all, you've realized that there's people have been going through some tough stuff, some trials of many kinds. And so we all have our own trial of many kinds story today that we're going to see what Curtis learned from his hip replacement, and maybe what Josh has learned in his heart attack. And I'll share a little bit of what I learned in being deaf in one ear for the last 2 weeks. But the Lord had led me to this
Silence
verse.
Silence is golden.
Yeah. It says in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Woohoo! Mm-hmm. "Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." There you go. We are supposed to consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds. And we have, like as I already said, we've faced many different kinds of trials. And I'm going to start with Curtis because he's the most, well, in succession.
He started it.
Yeah. Started it. We know that it's been 3 weeks now that he had?
3 weeks today, yeah.
Had a hip replacement.
Yeah, full hip replacement.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you've had some time to, you've were made to lay down a lot. So you probably had some time to think and ponder and talk to God. And in the process, what have you learned from all of this?
Well, I haven't really had much time to think about this because it's just sprung on me. But I don't know. I always think of adversity as like, it's a stepping stone to, lead you to where you're supposed to be going in life. This is one of the least amounts of adversity I've had in the last 2 years. I've had a lot of things happen. I think the key thing that I would like to share is just how important reflection is. Progression comes in reflection. And I talk to so many people about this and how to, when you're faced with adversity, not just getting through it, but reflecting on what came out of it. Yeah. How did it make you stronger?
Yeah.
How did it make you bolder? And actually reflecting to be able to share stories like this and tie God into it. That tremendously grows your faith.
Yeah.
When you go through adversity and you come out on the other side and you reflect on what God did during those times, why you did it, what happened during those times. I've always been a huge believer in that, even in business, just reflecting on the locations and the things that happened and where God's hand is. There's a big difference between God's hand and coincidence. And if you're a believer, you should know that.
That's
and you
right.
should be able to see that. So, I've learned a lot just going through it. And obviously, as most people know, I'm a go, 16-hour day type of guy.
Yep.
And not just work, but just going. And so I really did, I've been in my house for 3 weeks. I've just started kind of coming out in spurts of 3 to 4 hours. It's so cool to reflect and just see. I mean, the last 6 months of, I can't get into that whole story, but like just his hand in preparing me for surgery.
Absolutely.
The right time for surgery, and what's happening after surgery, and just the timing, like God's timing it's insane when you're in tune with him. He literally tells you what to do, when to do it, at the perfect time.
Yeah.
And we talked about this one true. Podcast, just like going with your gut and like knowing what the spirit is and what the, like, it's just so, it's so cool. Yeah, it's yeah. such a blessing when you are in tune vertically, even more than anything horizontally.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it just, it grows your faith so much. Mm-hmm. And you can reflect on it and you can share your stories. I have 5 books I could write at this point. Like, it's just, you can't, some things you just like, you can't speak, you can't yeah. put into words. Like, you have to reflect on them. So it's been super, I won't say, I don't like sitting in the house. I brought my office to my house for the most part, but just like taking that time to be able to reflect and, just lay in bed and being quiet. It's brought out so much like of just how good God is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just, absolutely. I don't know, his timing. It's just, it's crazy to, and it just takes some discipline to get to that point
right.
of your, you know, daily reading and your praying and getting involved. Like we talk about all the time.
Yep.
That's all it is. It's just daily discipline, discipline, discipline. I posted something like, besides God as your foundation, discipline in your life is the biggest foundation yep. of anywhere you want to go in life. And that includes your daily walk with Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So it's those daily disciplines that get you through the adversity. And after the adversity, you start looking back because you're still in your daily disciplines. And people just, they wallow in it. They wall. Every time you face adversity, you get in a fetal position and you quit. And that's the problem with society right. as a whole right now. And, you know, Christians, like, you have the edge. You have
absolutely.
You have the battle yeah. plan. You have the tools. You have the yep. swords. You have the tools to get yeah. through it and share it. And that's the right. most important thing is, like, right. sharing these experiences. And it's crazy because when you get, I'm sure it's like that with you. It's like nothing around me stopped, you know, I'm still right. getting harassed all day right. long with, you know, questions yep. and conversations and phone calls and all these things. And it's just like, you get yourself to that point of leadership where it's just like, some days it sucks. It's like, man, like I just had a major search. Can like, I'd be left right. alone for a day. but it's like, it's just, I've been disciplined
yeah.
for 8-10 years every single day yep. and you just create that, you know, image of, you know, discipline and reflection, and you just, God just puts you like on a different level of like
yeah.
Like everything yeah. down here is just on a, it's helping and mentoring and coaching right. and just like you help people get through these issues because I don't know how else to do
right.
and you can turn them to Jesus, and that's the key in
that
it.
Is the key yeah. and you know, and the truth is like it, there's no way to know how strong our faith is unless it's tested.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to test our faith is to go through some of these adversities, these trials of many kinds.
Yep. Yep.
You know, you can say you have all kinds of faith and everything's right. going well. That's great. But
yep.
when you've been knocked down or whatever the adversity has been, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, okay, now I know. Like in your reflection, you realize, oh, wait, like I'm all right. Like my faith is strong. I can see God at work. I've seen, you know, of course you're not going to sign up for hip surgery, but right. you know, this, you see where your faith lies
yeah.
and you just, you come out on the other end saying,
right.
yeah, I'm good. Yeah. I'm, you know, and yeah. that all those things, all those disciplines that you've been practicing throughout the years have just built that foundation yeah. of faith. And then, okay, let's test it. And
yeah.
it withstood. Mm. That's awesome. Yeah.
And just like the peace aspect is
yeah.
insane.
Yeah.
Like everyone's like, you know, are you ready? Are you nervous? And like, I could care less.
Right.
Like, if God wants me to come out of this thing, I'm going to come out of this thing. Yep. Like, going into it, not a nerve, not a nothing. Yep. Don't care. Coming out of it, nothing.
Yep.
It's just like the peace that surpasses everything. Yep. Like, you don't yes. understand
yeah.
it. And it's like,
it is awesome.
Like, I don't,
it's
like,
unbelievable.
The timing.
Unbelievable.
Right. Yeah. He gives you the timing and he gives you the peace with it yep. if you trust in him.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're still here, Josh.
Yeah, Josh is.
I am.
Yeah.
I am. By the grace of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, coming back to a heart of worship.
Yeah. But, I mean, like having, knowing that I was having a heart attack for 3 days.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, and then too stubborn to even.
Yeah.
Yeah, like too stubborn to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just keep
That's
going.
A different subject.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep and to just keep going. But, like the biggest take that I had out of it was, and I shared this with Tobin. Mm-hmm. I got in the ambulance for the second time when they took me Saturday. Didn't care. Didn't care. It was the most peaceful, calming feeling to know that I'm okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was zero fear. Like it solidified faith in such a way. I have never, like, nobody wants, like you said, nobody wants to go through that trial. But until you go through that trial and realize for yourself, like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Like, the discipline and all the things, like, this is where I'm at.
Yeah.
Like, I know Jesus. Like, there was no question in my mind ever of what would happen to me if I stopped breathing. None. Yeah. My biggest fear was, did I take care of my family? Have I done all the things that I need to do here?
Yeah.
And,
you know,
that's
common.
That's the thing. And it wasn't a fear. It was just like, oh, I didn't have time to.
Right.
Like, and if I do make it through this, those things will be taken care of.
That's right. Exactly.
You know, so you know, you take a self inventory, but in the midst of it, like there was such a peace and, you know, just my wife's a rock star, like hands down.
Yep.
You know, you see God move in things and move through people with discernment that, like for me, Saturday, I'm sitting in my pickup going for 10 minutes, I should drive myself to the hospital. Like, I think I should drive myself to the hospital. I don't feel good. I should drive myself to the hospital. And my mother gets in the car and I said, I'm not taking you back to the church. I'm going to drive myself to the hospital. And my mother got out of the truck without even questioning and went over to Heather. And here comes Heather running. And she's like, you're not driving anywhere, and dialed the phone. And it's a good thing because, like, they wouldn't even let anybody in the ambulance because as soon as they hooked me up to the EKG, they were like, no, oh, crap, and they were out. And, like, literally having a heart attack the whole time. While kids are getting eggs. No wonder I was grumpy.
No,
no kidding. Jeez. Stupid kids, get out of my way.
You've been having a heart attack for 20 years.
Yeah, I know. Well, I told Matt, I said, unfortunately, this is proof that I do have a heart. Like, they have pictures.
It's in there.
They actually have pictures and video of it pumping.
It's a Grinch heart. But it's
well, my mother said that that's why I had a heart attack, because it grew three times. Three sizes.
There we go. Yeah. There's a whole new, he's a whole new me.
Yeah. But it does. It puts things into perspective, puts life into perspective. And, you know, I got out, and the opportunity that you get, like, you look at it, because people will ask, they always, how you doing?
Right.
Which is an irritant to me. How you doing? How you feeling? Yeah.
How's your knee? Like, well, my knee's good. My hip.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you appreciate the sentiment. Like, you appreciate the fact that they care and stuff like that. But, like, they got to realize, like, 16,000 other people have already said, how you doing?
Right.
You know? So you get to that point, you're kind of tired of it. But in that opportunity of how you doing, it's, you know, I had a chance and to say to one person, I was like, look, it put into perspective what's important. God and family. The end.
Yeah.
Like, if those things, if you're not taking care of those things, you better get your life right. You better straighten it out, because God first, then your family. And, you know, of course, your family is the people here in church.
Right.
You know, not just your blood family, but your family of God, you know? So if you're not taking care of those people, like, it's time for some reflection before something like this happens God forces you to take a moment to go, crap.
Yeah.
Like, let's get it right first.
Yeah.
Let's, because I think we take for granted sometimes that, oh, I got, you know, this, I got time, I got tomorrow. And, you know, I mean, what I had said to the person that I was talking to, I'm like, you need to go home and tell your wife how much you appreciate her.
Yeah.
Whether you think she knows it or not, if you ain't said it in the past 10 minutes, you should say it.
Yep.
At least tell her. At least show her.
Right.
Because, you know, maybe get on your knees and talk to God.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't know. Just saying, like, yeah. You don't want to be in that situation where you're going, oh, am I? Mm. Am I going to see Jesus?
Yep.
You right. know? Because mm. that peace that passes all understanding, when yep. that comes over you, yep. like, I never, like, my family was at peace. Like, Heather sat there calm as a cucumber. She said she never questioned whether or not any of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a peaceful, mm-hmm. the whole thing. You know, yep. nobody's freaking out.
Yep.
You know, and you see so often, like, people in the hospital and
yep.
that are just oh, yeah. losing their right. minds because
yep.
they don't know. Like,
yep.
you know, and it's different.
I think it's important to note the prayer aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because she had that peace, but she had, you guys had people we surrounded
covered,
you.
Covered in prayer. Yeah.
Yes.
Covered in prayer.
Yes.
I mean, I even it's made fair. Sure to tell everybody that I was praying too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I'm praying. Yeah. But we're all praying.
Yeah.
Sometimes that goes, it goes, you know, overlooked of like the power behind you. Like it's, you're not alone. Like you no. said, like this is your family.
Right.
And it's a lot. It's a big deal like that. You never know, like that one person right. that prays and it's just like, that was the one, you know, right. we needed. And, but I think it's yeah. a, I think back to, you know, you're talking about God and family. You know, I think back to losing my brother 2 years ago and just the oddly, the just the peace of like losing somebody that close that you know where they went.
Yeah.
And it almost huge. Creates a jealousy of like,
right. yeah,
like it's insane. But like back to, you know, God and family, mm-hmm. what I learned from his funeral, seeing 600 people in this building, that can't, yeah. we can't, they were
not all
outside.
Of them were in the building.
Right.
They couldn't fit.
But, you know, I learned that, you know, the part of the God is what is God's mission for you?
Right.
And it completely changed my whole entire, that's when I just got, I got so deep into the word and just all these things of like, God, what is, what's your plan? Who's the next person? Put somebody in front of me. Like they need to know
right.
what this piece is, as much as it hurts and it sucks. Like that is, it's just like, what is your mission? What is God telling you to do? And it's just, it was, it's so crazy. Yeah. Like how, I don't know. It's just, yeah. it's, you almost can't explain it.
I tell a lot of people, like, especially Christian families, you know, when they have a loved one that's died and they know mm. where they are, they know that they're with the Lord, you know, that's like the best gift you can leave. Mm.
Whew. Yeah,
you can leave your family is to know that, yep. hey, I know where he is, and I know how to get there, and I'm gonna see him again because mm. you know on the other side I've sat with too many families that didn't yeah. know, right. and it's this despondent despair, like they don't you yeah. know it, this is all this world is all that it was, and now right. it's like there's this hopelessness, yeah. and it's like, man, if you are a mom or a dad and you can yeah. leave your children the biggest gift. Uh-huh. And it doesn't have to be material. It's just the fact that they know where you are. They right. know that you are in heaven. Like, that's mm. huge. It's such a weight off of people's hearts and knowing that, like you said, like yeah. You almost get jealous. Like, yeah. okay, I'm gonna see them again. Like, right. what a great they gift just, that yeah. is. Yeah, it's like so.
You just beat me there. Like that's
yep right. Yeah, yeah. It's like please and let your so, children know.
Just to add another importance level on that is like I've been, you know, like. Over those years, the last 2 years, I've talked to some people that have lost loved ones.
Yeah.
And they know they weren't yeah. Christians. They know they yeah. weren't saved. Well, the amount of pressure now for you to get saved, it's just like you constantly know in your head that you're not going to see them.
Right.
So it's like, do it now.
Right. Right.
Work on your family now. Yep. Get them saved now. All of them. Right. All of them.
Well, because it's like, our main objective. Like, that's yeah, right. our objective. It's our responsibility as parents for, right. like, if we're parents, it's yeah. our responsibility to make sure that our kids are saved.
Yeah.
Like it's not, we should not be going, well, they can, we'll let them choose how they feel. Yeah. Oh, no, that is not,
that is a lie
our responsibility. Yep. Our responsibility is to get them saved, to get yep. them to Christ,
yep.
you know?
I got make that is like that demonic thing that has seeped in even to the Christian homes. Like, well, like I'll let my kids choose. Like, no, you don't let your if you're not preaching the gospel and trying to get your children saved, then let me tell you, the world's not going to do it.
No.
Like, you know, the world's going to do the opposite. The world is working overtime on your kids, and so for you to just say, oh, you know, I'll let them choose when they get older, like that. You're just playing Russian roulette, and that
and
is
those
ridiculous.
Are the people that would like. Well, they're not going to eat sugar, and they're not going to do this. But I'll let them choose whether or not they want to go to hell or heaven.
Right?
Come on.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Like it's stupid.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's asinine. I can't do it. Like it
baffles
just,
me. You know,
like we have lived in a backwards world. Like we're not.
Yep.
We're not bold.
Yeah. Right?
And we need to be bold. Like, right. That's
And can I say, like, just because you mentioned, you know, well, you mentioned hell, but you know, people think that, oh, like, well, whatever, you know, I'll be partying with them in hell. Like, no, you won't.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Bible's fairly clear that you will be alone. You know, it is not good. God said the only thing that wasn't good in creation was for man to be alone, and God then created a helpmate. And so hell, everyone, you know, the lie is, oh, there's just a big party in hell where it's, you know, hey, I'll meet you down there or whatever. It's like, no, you will be isolated and alone for eternity without God,
tormented.
Without others. Yeah. And tormented. Right. So, you know, like that's not like a biblical stance to like to even have.
They're not going to like group you together.
Right. Hey, and, you can have a big party. No, it's not party time.
You're not even burning together.
Right.
Like you're going to be separated and alone.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's just, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, okay, so let's get into that.
Whew, here we go. Let's go.
So, like, I mean, hell itself is separation from God.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, right now, everything that we have is under a gift of God.
Yeah.
So, this is not separation from even non Christians have the gift.
Experiencing
that. They're experiencing
grace.
His grace, the gifts that He gives to us. Removing all of that eternal separation forever of no grace, no mercy, no nothing, and no presence of Him whatsoever, like nothing.
Right.
Yep.
And then God takes, in Revelation, God takes hell, death, and Hades and throws it in the lake of fire.
Yep.
Like.
Right.
I'm not messing around with that.
Like.
No.
There's like a double whammy there.
I'm good.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, not only are you eternally suffering alone, but now He's going to throw, you know, and it was set aside for the angels.
Yeah. Yep. Right.
That's what that was set aside for.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not for us.
Mm.
Yep.
Not, He wants everybody
right.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, He desires that, and He loves everybody so much that He gives us free will in order to just come to Him.
Yeah.
Right. And no one gets to no one's going to go to heaven kicking and screaming. You know
no,
what I mean?
Like he doesn't
like
want
you have
you
that
there.
Choice, right?
Right.
Like he's not going to make you come, you know.
But the alternative is not a party in hell with your buddies.
No.
Like it's separation, it's torment, and it's forever. And I can't even fathom what
I mean the world
want to.
Turn or burn, baby.
Right. Like the world's bad enough as it is.
Yeah.
And like we're still have access to God's grace and everything. And it's like, we still go through it all the time.
Yeah.
And like, so like you're just completely separating all of that.
Yeah. Right.
And it's just like, you know, we're starting to see like, you know, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And you're going to have to make a choice and you need to make the choice before it's too late.
That's right.
You know, that's another thing with like losing Cameron. It's like, you know, you got to remember it, and it's like any day.
Yeah, you're never guaranteed, and that's another thing that came out of this.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm, you know, I'm 50, gonna be 51. I'm not in horrible shape.
Yeah.
You know, I'm may not be in the best shape, but I'm not horrible shape. Right?
Don't look at me. You're fine.
Shut up.
I haven't moved in 3 weeks. So. Yeah.
But so I'm in that like that. That unit there, down there in Portland, and I'm walking around the rooms and looking at the people that are in there having heart attacks, like or that are in that cardiac unit, and I'm going, I don't look like any of these people.
Yeah.
Like I am not.
First of all, I'm walking around.
Right. Like I am not like the non-typical.
Yeah.
You know, heart attack victim. Like.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not overweight. I'm. You know, I don't eat a ton of junk food. I'm. It's just not my lifestyle. I try to eat healthy. I try to. So you don't know.
Right.
You don't know. It, right. it doesn't matter what you're doing. Like, right. you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And
right.
it's only a minute. Like, that was minutes that that I was away. Like, from...
Yep.
If I had just ignored it and tried to drive myself, I might not be here.
Right.
Like, it's...
Yep.
You think of that, and then you think of all the people that are out there, like, working in the woods, or they're working somewhere else, or they're or they're doing this, and they ignore it, or it comes on quickly, and they're trying to drive, and that's it.
Yep.
The end. Now you're standing before the king going, oh, crap, I didn't make that decision.
Right.
Yep.
You know, why would you wait?
Right.
Why? It's unfathomable to me why someone would just toy with their eternity in that way.
Yep. And that's that's what society's planted. And it's like, it's all a pleasure because I have to stop this.
Right.
I can't do this anymore. Like, I can't turn to God because I'm doing this. And it's just constant. It's a hamster wheel.
It's the pull of Egypt.
Right? Yeah.
Is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually talked to my mother about that today. I'm like, so often it's that we've been set free. The gates have been open. Yep. You know, we're allowed to go out, but we continue to go back and look back towards, well, I had this in Egypt and I had that in Egypt and I could do that back before I was set free and could do that. Not knowing, you know. Well, full well knowing, like, they walked through the wilderness with a pillar of fire a pillar of smoke, God's presence directly in front of them, and they still continue to complain and look backwards at what they had when they were in slavery.
Well, full circle, they were running into adversity.
Right. Yeah.
They were running into adversity. And, that was better. That was better. Yeah. That was better. I don't want to deal with this. Yeah. No matter what God was doing for them, they were basically ignoring it.
Right.
And they weren't reflecting. Right. Yeah. I'm like, he just parted a sea.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's no water here. Or I'd like to have some
thirsty.
Meat.
Yeah, I want meat instead.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's exactly, you know, full circle of you're going to face adversity.
Right.
And the pleasures of what you used to do are going to be pulling you. Absolutely. And it's going to be like, I want to do that again.
If we want to go a little further, like, they got to adversity to a certain point, right?
Yeah.
And complained in their adversity until God said, you know what? We're done with you.
Yeah.
And none of them got in.
And none of them got in.
None of you are coming.
He said, you will not see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they were afraid.
Don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because you forget that, you know, we look at those things of the world, think, oh, how great and how entertaining and how pleasurable they were. But, like, you've all talked about, like, there's no peace. You didn't have peace then. You can't pretend that you had peace. You can't pretend that you had a joy that's like that just bubbles up inside that regardless of what the circumstances are. Like, you were chasing happiness, right? Yeah. And happiness only comes with happenstance. It's just by chance. Hopefully I gotta get the next buzz. I gotta go for the next thing. And it's like, there's a joy that God gives us, you know, that is absolutely astounding that even in the face of affliction and persecution, you can have a joy. You can have that peace that passes understanding. Like, it just doesn't make sense. I should be freaking out right now, but I'm at peace.
Yeah.
And joy
down in my heart.
In my heart.
Oh, another heart song.
Like, they rather had been like slaves.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the same thing today.
It is.
We'd rather be slave to the addiction in the world and the pleasures.
Yep.
That's
keep me a slave.
Yeah, because it feels good for 5 minutes. Right. It feels good, like,
and if they if you stop to talk about it, like, you know, thinking about the way I was, and when I really reflect on it and reflect on the way that I was miserable, miserable. I was the most hateful person and miserable. Like, I didn't like anybody. I didn't want to be around anybody, and a lot of it was shame.
Yeah.
Is the reason I didn't want to be around because you do things and then you're just like, man, I'm just not.
Yep.
But people just continually go back to it, thinking that that's better.
Yeah.
Right.
Isn't it crazy how, like, that just, like, this is just your, like, get in the word. Like,
Right.
We just broke down the entire Moses Egypt and compared it to today.
Right.
Just like that. And, you know, 5 minutes, we completely related to the entire Old Testament and what they went through and how we're going through it right now. And it's going to be the same thing. You're going to get in or you're not going to get in.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And yeah. It's all on what you do and what are you going to do with Jesus, right? Like, that's what it comes down to. Like, what do you do? What is your decision with Jesus? I mean, that's how you can know that you have eternal life. Yep. That's how you can have that peace when you're laying in an ambulance, or when you're on a gurney going in for surgery. You can have that peace when you have come to the place where, like, okay, Jesus, what am I going to do with Jesus? I am going to accept and believe what he's done for me, that he's died for me, that he's taken my sin, that he's opened a way for me into heaven, that he is who he says he is. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through him. So, you know, that's what it boils down to. It's really not complicated. Very simple. Like, Jesus came to save us. Jesus came to take our sins. Jesus came to open a way for us to have eternal life in Christ. And so you receive that. You believe that and say, okay, like, I want Jesus in my life. And then you pursue him and you follow him and you pick up your cross and you continue to pursue him and you continue to follow him until you get to that place of trial or affliction or all of these things and say, okay, like, he's there with you. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. You know, when you're his for good. And that's where that peace comes from, that we can say, okay, like, bring it, like, all right. Like, I don't like the trial. I don't like the pain, but I know where I'm going.
It's being another word is the obedience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of, like, if you're feeling it, but then do it, because back to the wilderness, it's like, never mind. I'm done.
Right.
You guys aren't obedient.
Yep.
You're not getting into the promised land.
Right.
Right.
And it's the same thing for us. Yep. Like, you're either going to accept him, you're going to be obedient, and you're going to follow God's path through your life.
Yep.
And you're not getting in.
Right.
It's all right there. Right. All in the same.
He told them. I said, listen,
same story.
Go into the promised land. I've prepared it for you. Yep. There we are. I'm with you. Nope. Mm-hmm. Nope. It's too scary. There's too many giants. Right. We're going to
yeah.
All right. Well, I can't do with you.
Yeah. Right.
Can't relate.
So this morning I was reading in this, 1 Corinthians, you know, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is the power of God to us who are being saved.
Yeah.
I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will set aside the intelligence of the intelligent. So, like, I mean, everything that we're saying, like,
it is foolish.
Because they don't understand the fact that it's literally just believing.
Right.
It's just believing. Yeah. I think sometimes we, I don't want to be offensive, but I may be offensive.
First week back.
The guy had a heart attack. Like, we'll give him a break.
Lip service doesn't cut it.
Right.
Right? Like, so we say, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. But your actions, do they follow that that statement?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of people I know that claim, you know, that come to our church, go to the church down the road, that go to the church, the other church down the road, claim Jesus, I believe in Jesus, but you know what? There's no action that follows that.
Mm.
You know, if I told Curtis, hey, look, you know, I'm a carpenter and you invited me to come over and there was no action that followed that, don't matter what I say.
Right.
You know,
right.
If I can't follow that with action, you know.
And there's different levels to the faith, too, of the believing, which is what we're talking about. It's like, you know, we've taken steps and steps in our adversity over and over and reflection and reflection and reflection. You know, it's like our faith has grown and grown and grown and it goes to different levels and it keeps going. And then all of a sudden you're on fire. Right. Then it's like, okay, now you're bringing people to church. Now you're like your entire world changes. The focus of your life, the focus of your family, your mission, God, everything escalates.
Right.
Yeah.
And it just comes with those small seeds of like faith, 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 faith. And that's how you get there, because like you're saying, there's a lot of people that say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but there's no faith. Right. You know what I mean? Right. Like they haven't gone through adversity and they haven't grown.
The minute something happens, the second something happens.
Yes. Why God?
Yeah. Right. They blame him or they turn away or it's everybody else's fault. It's not, you know, there's not even a trying of, and so then you wonder, you know, okay. Do you really believe in Jesus?
Yeah.
Right. You know, or do you just say that you believe in Jesus? Mm. You know,
Because there has to be an understanding that there is no safe room in Christianity. Like you, when things get hard, you can't, you know, there is no place to just like, right. I got to go to my safety room or my whatever. Like it's not like, right. You know, I heard it a few weeks ago and I love it. Cause it's like, it just keeps saying the bullseye is the birthmark of a believer. Like when you put your faith in Christ, there is a bullseye that's put on you that the enemy says, okay, they're not mine anymore. So we're going to attack. And now you carry that. You carry the bullseye with you regardless. That's your birthmark. And, you know, and so you have to get to a place where, yes, adversity. So again, and I think you might have posted a while back, but, you know, some adversity is of our own stupidity. Yeah. Like, and we need to it's the devil's not behind every bad thing that happens.
Right.
Sometimes it's because you're an idiot and you made a bad choice and now you're paying the consequence, right. You know, but there are other adversities that come where, you know, like there is just opposition. Yes. There is demonic opposition against you or what you're a part of or your church or whatever that, you know, it's because I am a Christian and I stand, you know, and I'm going to continue to move forward and the enemy's going to attack.
Yes.
And we need to be aware of that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the dark. There is a demonic aspect to a lot of the adversity that we face. And so we need to be aware of that, not be fearful of it, but to know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, you know? Right. And we have Christ with us, and it's not even a fair fight. I mean, it's not, Satan isn't Jesus's like brother. He is a created being. Jesus is God. And you know, like there's the Satan and his demons, they're created beings. They have very limited power. Satan is on a short leash. God, you know, uses Satan to accomplish certain things. We see it in the scriptures and that's it. Like he doesn't have, he's not all powerful, all knowing, all everywhere. And he's not omnipresent. That's God. I mean, Satan is over somewhere in the Middle East right now. He's not attacking you, but there are demonic activities. But that's a whole other story.
Yeah. Oh, no. Wait a minute.
We don't want to go there. Through the New Testament. If you look through the New Testament, personal action and what you do is what Paul 99% writes about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I challenge anybody to find like a handful of scripture that talks about Satan coming after you.
Right.
Anywhere in the New Testament. Yep. It's not there. Yep. Because that's not our problem.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's not,
He's not interested unless God allows him to do something. Mm-hmm. He can't do it. Yep. We are overcomers.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
Our bad decisions, our bad choices, you know, sin in this world is what happens. And then we're going to face the,
Right.
Yeah.
Because there are non-believers. There are people who don't believe. There are people that are evil.
Right.
And that's what happens.
There's just bad. Yeah. Bad people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Satan's getting ready to battle in Israel. Like,
right.
He's getting ready for Jesus to come back.
Right.
Like, he's trying to deter all those plans. But, back to what you're saying, like, we're told in the scriptures over and over and over, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Look what Jesus went through.
Yeah.
Right. It's hard. It's all going to be hard.
Yep.
And it never stops. And it's partly because of free will. It's partly because of bad people.
Yep.
It's partly because of Satan and his demons. And like, you know, it says right in the Bible, like he's the prince of this world. This is Satan's world right now.
Right.
And it's going to change. Like this isn't it.
Right.
Like it's coming. And like you have to be, you have to look at it that way. It's not always like, oh, God allowed this to happen. Or why would God let this happen? Why?
Right.
Like you got to think bigger. You got to get outside your little box, guys.
Yep.
And you got to see the whole picture. You got to read the whole thing. You got to study the whole thing.
Yep.
And you got to understand what's actually coming.
Yeah. Right.
Because we get stuck in that little box of like, why would God let, you know, this happen to a good person or to the kids, or like he has ultimate control. He's omnipresent. He has ultimate control, but he tells us this is going to happen.
Yep.
You're going to go through it.
Yep.
So once you can change your mindset of like, I'm going to go through it and turn it into, like you say, the bullseye, it's like, you know, I say it to myself 20 times, not today, Satan. Like, you got to make it personal.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's like, I have God in me. That's how are you going to fight this?
Yep. That was my thing. Like, hey, you think, you think you can take me out with a heart attack?
Right.
Come on.
Or whatever. it's like, take me through it, but I know what's coming on the other side.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to grow in it. And that battle is now going to make me better.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love it. Like, I mean, you just think about like, you guys, you've experienced what Paul experienced. Like, if I live, I live for Christ.
Right.
If I die, I'm with Christ. Yeah. Like, right. I can't, you can't, as a Christian, we can't lose.
Yeah.
You know, either we're going to continue to live for Christ and continue to share the gospel and grow the kingdom of God, or something's going to take us out and I'm going to be with Christ. Yeah. Hello. Like,
I on the bed in Skowhegan, like, I lay in there and it was literally the thing that I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? To live is Christ, to die is gain.
Yep.
Like, I, whatever.
Right.
And like, the most important part of those times is like knowing your family's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the biggest part for me right now, my only fear is my 2.5-year-old.
Sure.
Right. And it's like, will he without me? That's it.
Right.
Besides that, both sides of my family. And it's like, if God, if my mission is done here and God's done with me, I'm good to go.
That's right.
Right.
I mean, you have those feelings, obviously, but back to like your family, it's like, you know, he's 2.5. And it's like, obviously right now, like, he's fine. But like, what if he's a teenager and what if he's, you know, going through it? It's like, that's your responsibility.
Yeah.
That's your biggest, that is my biggest responsibility right now.
Yep.
Right.
For the next 18 years.
That's right.
To train them up.
Yep.
I mean, the Bible says, train your child up in the Lord and he will not depart from his ways.
Yeah.
So I think that's how it goes. I can't remember.
Close enough.
That was paraphrasing. Whatever.
That's all right. You can paraphrase.
Yeah, I had a hard time. You had a hard
time. We're going the way. It's only this week. Only this week you're going to get a pass.
Yeah. I'm playing on that for a while.
Well, that's awesome. Well, good. I hopefully this has encouraged some people, maybe fired some people up, maybe even challenged some folks. I mean, that's our goal, you know, and you know, I'm going to steal from someone else, but you know, our purpose for podcasts, our purpose for teaching and preaching on Sundays or our Bible studies or small groups, it really boils down to three things. We want to instruct the wise, we want to correct the foolish, and we want to drive out the evil. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so hopefully today you've listened, and maybe if you're wise, you have been instructed. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, I'm going to take some of this stuff and grow from it. If you've been foolish, maybe hopefully you've heard some of this and you've been corrected. Right. And you're like, oh, okay, I need to stop doing what I've been doing and get right and start, you know, seeking the things of God. And if you're evil, then maybe this has just driven you away. Like, forget this. These guys are crazy. They're nuts. And I want nothing to do with it. So
we
thanks
speak
for listening.
Jesus over you right now.
That's right. We break that off in Jesus' name. He's coming after you.
Yeah. Yes.
But hopefully it's been encouraging. You know, do not fear. You know, adversity and trial, like Curtis said, it's coming. You know, Jesus said, in this world, we're going to have trials and tribulations. But he has overcome the world. Mm. And he is with us. And he's never going to leave us. He's with us in the fire. He's with us in the flood. He's with us in the hospital room. He's with us, you know, on the road. He is with us. And you can take that assurance. If you are in Christ, you are in the safest place you can be. Mm. I thank you guys for sharing. I know it's kind of personal stuff that you guys have been going through, but I think it's definitely worth, you know, sharing that and encouraging some others that may be going through some of their own trials and tribulations. So keep the faith, keep following Jesus.